Does this one need to go on too? Okay. Hey, Brenda, would you start us off in a word of prayer?
I certainly will. So they're ready?
They're ready.
All right. Father, we so thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, and grace, how you're ever aware of all things, and nothing touches our lives, Lord, but first it comes by you. We commit this lessons and all into your hands, O God, that you have your way, you glorify yourself, give us ears to hear, and may we take it to heart, O God. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, bless God. I'll tell you what.
Thank you, Lord.
God dealt with me a lot differently this morning with what we're going to talk about today. I usually look up a lot of words and, you know, but he just talked to me so much about the fact that he's our rock, he's our shelter, he's our strong tower. And, hey, Sue, would you just read the whole Psalm 61?
Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever, appointed your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then will I ever sing praises to your name and fulfill my vows day after day.
Beautiful.
I love that. Yes. Day after day, daily, just one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
The very first and second verse kind of caught my attention. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that word cry, I'm going to just start off by saying that lately I've been going through some really, really hard times. I'm not going to say bad times because,
mm-hmm.
Brenda, what you prayed at the beginning was exactly the way I'm feeling. Nothing touches us unless it goes through God first.
Yes.
And when hard things come,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord was saying to me the other day, stay small in your own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get puffed up with pride, and pride, self-will, self-arrogance,
mm-hmm.
you know. When you get puffed up with pride, you cannot be helped until you let me deflate you. And deflation is not fun.
Oh, no.
Deflation is not fun. And so when I see that the Lord said, we said, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. I think that the cry, this is Psalm 61, Jim. I think the cry that we have to come to is a cry of surrender.
Yes.
You know, we do a lot of crying before God. We do a cry of, oh God, let my will be done, not yours. We do a lot of crying when we get ourselves into messes that we got ourselves into by reaping what we sow when we are self-willed. That self-will will get us killed.
Yes.
Our self-will is Adam. And Adam is going to pass away from the earth. Our self-will will never accomplish anything except trouble and death. So I think when we're saying, hear my cry, O God, that is the cry of utter surrender.
Mm-hmm.
God, I've tried it my way. It doesn't work. Even Jesus said, Father, Nevertheless, let thy will be done, not mine. Yes. And when we come to that place where we can cry out to God in utter and complete surrender and sit down with God on a daily basis, say, today, Father, every single day. That's why at the very last, it says in verse 8, so that I may daily perform my vows. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a daily thing. We come before the Lord every single morning and we say, Father, I'm surrendering this day to you. I'm presenting my body a living sacrifice to you.
Yes.
That is when he will hear my cry. Because he's always willing to be thrilled to death to let his will be done in our lives. This is what I think he's waited to hear. He's taken us through all of the things that he allows us to go through to bring us to that place where we surrender. So anyway, I just kind of looked up some of the words that are in this. You've been a rock to me. You've been a shelter to me. You've been a strong tower to me. And I looked up some of the verses and the things. And I wanted to go over some of the...
Can I read it on the...
Oh, absolutely. You want to read the whole psalm?
I was going to do the first three verses.
Sure, that's great.
It says, hear my cry, O God, and listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry to you. And when my heart is overwhelmed and fainting, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Yes, a rock that is too high for me. For you have been a shelter and a refuge for me, a strong tower against the adversary. And I see the greatest adversary as our will, our will, us.
That is the one thing.
When you read the adversary, and I read in the Old Testament a lot, and I see the enemies and see me, my thoughts, my plans, my, and I see that.
I was in on the one end of a conversation that I was having with somebody on the phone the other day. And when he hung up, I said, what was that about? And he said, I'm not Snoopy, I just want He said, this person, I won't mention any names, I hate my job, I hate my school, and, just fed up with everything.
Yeah.
And his advice to the person was, don't you know that God has you right there for your development?
And my goodness.
That you can be a witness to all of the people around you, even though you don't like it there, you're there because God wants you there. I said, either they will be a different person or they'll never call you again. But I thought that was a good response.
Good.
And either way,
that's what God gave me.
Either way, you know, I can see, you said that in jest, but it's the truth. If they're not ready, that's fine. God will bring it back when it's time. If they call you back, fine. If you know, if they never call you back, fine. If they are a changed person, even more fine.
Because God has planted the seed in them.
This is so good that you gave on this attitude and how we look at things and how we perceive things.
Yes.
And I've talked to a couple of people this week, and one of them I said, I thank God that our lives have crossed. Because I look for God, and anyone that he brings in my life is for a purpose, not only for them, but for me, because he's doing work in me, but that he may bless them, and that I may look to him to give them the word that he has for them.
Well, I think when you do truly surrender, you find ways to be about your Father's business.
Yeah.
And then when you do that, you can look for, if it's even, even if I'm sitting at work and I'm returning an email, I can put, have a great weekend. Make somebody feel, loved, something more than a number, But I thought I would start by, there are certain language that's in Psalms that's like nowhere else in the Bible. And so almost every single thing that I'm going to go to is in Psalms, but it's so very beautiful. When we talk about hear my cry, and I looked up all the things that God does when he hears our cry, or just some of the things God does when he hears our cry. I mean, we can't even imagine all the things he's doing when he hears our cry. But remember, it's that cry of surrender. It is a cry of distress. It is a cry of sadness. It's a cry of mourning. It's a cry, but mostly it has to be a cry of surrender to his will.
Yes.
And the first one is, what one of the things that God does when he hears our cry is in Psalm 18. And it says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower.
Yes.
All of that kind of verbiage, I love.
Mm-hmm.
I love this idea that God is our strength. God is my fortress. He's my hiding place. Mm-hmm. He's the place that I go for comfort and for safety. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed about me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. And then listen to all God did. Then the earth shook and trembled. Sometimes our earth shakes and trembles.
Mm-hmm.
The foundations of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth. Devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. I love that. Because Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High,
shall abide.
He makes darkness his secret place. Even if we're in a dark, dark place, he is our secret place, right in that spot. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. This is all what God did because I cried out to him in my distress. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent down his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. And then the channels of water were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. Now listen to this. He sent from above and took me. He drew me out of many waters.
Yes.
That's the way sometimes we feel like we're drowning. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. He delivered me. That's the one thing he does when he hears. He delivered me from my strong enemy. He prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Those are some of the things the Lord will do when we call on his name and he hears our cry. Got anything? Jump in.
On Psalms 59, on 16, the end of it, I have, for you are my fortress and my refuge in times of trouble.
Mm-hmm. The next thing that I saw that God, what happens when he hears our cry is in Psalm 27.
Oh, yes. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Yes.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Yes.
Whom shall I fear?
Mm.
The Lord is the strength of my life.
Oh, yes.
Oh, of whom shall I be afraid? You know, I'm just every morning get up and read this stuff, and you'll go through the day, you know. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, They stumbled and fell. Remember, when we're talking about enemies, we're not talking about people.
We're talking about
In here. Yeah. Though a host should encamp about against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Yeah. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me.
Yes.
He shall set me up upon the rock. And now mine head shall be lifted up above my enemies, round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Here's the key verse. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice.
Yes.
Have mercy also on me and answer me. When I said, seek ye my face. Oh, when he said to me, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, when my friends forsake me, when my son or my daughter forsakes me, when my husband or my wife forsakes me, when my children forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Oh, that, a lot of that was me adding. It just...
Yes.
I could put real names in there, you know? Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not into the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, such as breathe out cruelty. You know what? Sometimes I have to say they're not even false witnesses. They're witnesses. Because I do a lot of things. For witnesses are risen up against me, but, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So that's one more thing he does. He will strengthen our heart.
Can I read 8?
Oh, sure.
Verse 8 says, you have said, seek my face. Inquire for and require my presence as your vital need. And my heart says to you, your face, your presence, Lord, will I seek. Inquire for and require of necessity and on the authority of your word. Ain't that so good?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
And 14, this translation replaces wait on the Lord with rely.
Oh, that's good.
Rely.
Yes.
I need a pen for that.
Be brave and of good courage and stout
rely
endurance.
On the Lord.
It says, and expect. Wait on the hope and expect. You're supposed to be waiting with expectation.
Rely on the Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Praise God.
He will strengthen your heart.
Yes.
The next psalm that I have is Psalm 34, about what happens when he hears your cry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, this is good. I'm sorry, I hate to be... I'll tell you what. No, I'm just going to go ahead and read the whole thing. It's all so good. It's kind of a reading. The psalms are very repetitive in many ways. There's, you know, and some of them are beautifully like songs repeating a chorus and a verse, a chorus and a verse. I will bless the Lord at all time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. The humble. Humbly ask him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. There's a lot that can be said about that too. I'm going to go down and to verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles.
Yes.
The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Yes. Now listen to this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
Yes.
Well, we could talk about that for a couple of days.
Yes. I know she's bouncing around in Psalms.
Mm-hmm. 18, 27, and 34.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So far. The next one I want to talk about is Psalm 40. What happens when he hears our cry?
Yes, Lord.
Oh, I like this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He leaned over. I love that. You know, leaned over to listen to me. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. I think that's true. Mm-hmm. He brought me out of the miry clay. We know what the clay is. He set my feet upon a rock. We know who the rock is. Mm-hmm. And he established my goings. Mm-hmm. Now listen to this. After I cried, he heard my cry and he put a new song in my mouth.
Yes,
even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear. And shall trust in the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's that service. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say things. You just, he puts a new song in our mouth. And many that we come in contact with will see it.
Yes.
You know, are they going to see it with their eyes? They'll see it with their inner eyes. And they shall trust in the Lord. That's pretty good.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Psalm 107. He heard my cry.
Yes, Lord.
Okay, I'm just going to read. This is the one that's it's so pretty. It's kind of like a song. Mm-hmm. It talks about all these different kind of people. You know, he gathered these people out of the east and the west, and they wandered in a wilderness, mm-hmm. and they were hungry and thirsty, it says. And then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on down, and he said, he brought them in the right way, and then after a while they rebelled and they went their own way. And they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of all their distresses. And he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he broke their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then he goes on down a little bit more about fools and their transgressions. And you know, we can all relate to that.
Yeah,
man.
In 17, this translation sounds like what you were saying before about a lot of stuff we bring on ourselves.
Uh-huh.
They acted like fools in their rebellious ways and suffered because of their sins.
That's right. But then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word, and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. I mean, isn't that us?
Yes.
Down and up and down and up, and they will go no more out. That's like that in and out and in and out. We go in and out of the awareness of his presence. And then there's those that go down to the sea in ships, and they do business in great waters, and they mount up to heaven and go down into the depths, and their soul is melted because of trouble, and they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They're at their wit's end. And then they cry unto the Lord in their
yes.
trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm calm, yes. so that the waves are still thereof. And they are glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Then it goes on. I'm going to go on down to here. Whoops. I'm at the end. What did I find out of there? Saved, healed, and delivered. He sent his word. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word and delivered them from the storms. Yes. Saved, healed, delivered. That's all just in. He heard my cry. That's in the first three words. Hear my cry, O Lord, and attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Well, we could talk a couple of weeks about that too. There's a lot in this. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. You know what? I just love that. I've made them, I hope I'm not, don't let this go on the web. My password on my computer at work is a pause at 69. Well, then I had a birthday, so I changed it to pause at 70. Pause. And every morning I get into my computer and I pause. That's what pause. Take your time. Stop a minute and think about this. That's not the reason that I made that. I was trying to find a new, you know, some of these places make you change your password every third day, sometimes it feels like. And I was looking at my computer keyboard and there's a pause button. And I thought, okay, pause. But then the Lord made it more real to me than that.
It's kind of like wait and rely. Pause. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I came upon some of the stuff here that is the rock. I think Psalm 62 says a lot about the rock. We know Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. But this Psalm 62 has something really interesting to say. There's three times in there where it says only. And I just want to read through 62, verse 6. Unless somebody else wants to read. Jim, you want to read?
Well, yeah,
62, 1 through 6.
Okay. Truly my soul silently waits for God. Jeez, how do you silence your soul, man? Mm-hmm. Truly my soul silently waits for God. I guess that's how you do silent it. You wait on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock. Yeah, I picked that up too, Kathy, as soon as I read that first verse when you were talking.
Only.
That the word only kind of jumped off the page at me. He only is my rock. I guess the Lord wants us to think about how many other rocks we're standing on that are going to be sand.
Oh, yes.
That's the reason why David said, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Sounds like he's saying, I get moved, but not greatly. Because of God. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. Like they have problems with tottering fences on a farm down in Bratton County. There's a lot of things that can escape.
You better fix those.
Because
you will be slain.
Yeah, there's a lot of stakes on people's place tonight that they didn't pay me for. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly.
Five and six.
Oh. My soul waits silently for God alone. That's the second time he says that. For my expectation is from him.
Mm-hmm.
He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. He says that twice, doesn't he?
Actually, three times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once you said, because we need to hear and hear and hear before it finally starts getting through that.
Yes. Yes.
Trust in relying on it.
No wonder those guys weren't right here.
And then in 7, it actually says, God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God.
It says, he is my rock of unyielding strength and impenetrable hardness, and my refuge is in God. And then he says, trust in, lean on, rely on, have confidence in him at all times, you people. Mm-hmm. Pour out your hearts before him, for God is a refuge for us, and a fortress, and a high tower. Selah, pause.
That about says it all.
Think of that.
You know, this is a guy who isn't just quoting Old Testament scriptures. This is a guy that has had experience.
That's right.
That's right.
He's experienced.
He became Old Testament scripture.
Yes.
Yes.
Those are the guys you want to hang around, the ladies you want to hang around that have been in the Lord for 20, 30 years, you know, and they've walked this thing out and stuff. Just know the
Lord.
Scriptures.
Praise God.
There you are. There's one you want to hang out with right there.
You've been around for 20, 30 years in the scriptures.
Yes, and Lord. Thank you, Father.
This thing of shelter. Strong. Excuse me. Self will. I drink. I ate a donut. You see, the first thing I said was my self will get me killed. I didn't intend on having it happen this morning. I'm just looking at Psalm 91. There's sorry.
You want a glass of water?
I'm good. The essence. I didn't even hear it. Shelter, translated refuge in most places. And there's really very little you can say about shelter or refuge that is not put best in Psalm 91. Mm-hmm. We could read the whole psalm. Mm. So, if you don't mind, would somebody read Psalm 91 while I gag?
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. Mm-hmm. And on him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. For then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Then he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor the arrow of the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be yourself, inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked. And because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. For he will give his angels a special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways. of obedience and servants. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. And I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name and has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness. And trusts and relies on me, knowing that I will never forsake him, no, never. And he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him with long life, and I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of interesting that it says in 6, mm-hmm. you don't have to worry about the pestilence that walks in darkness or the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Mm-hmm. That's the light in the darkness. Mm-hmm. And then on 7, and 5, where it says, you will not be afraid for the terror by night mm-hmm. or for the arrow that flies in the day. And remember in Psalm 91:1, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the yes. Most High. In Psalm 18, we read, he has made darkness his secret place. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be afraid in the darkness. We don't have to be afraid in the light. We don't have to be afraid, period. Yeah. Everything that touches us has to come through God to touch us. Yes. When you prayed that prayer this morning, I said to myself, God gave me the right, you know, I felt a real anointing, a comfort mm-hmm. in what I was, but that cry of surrender that we give to God mm-hmm. sets in motion all of his deliverance, all of his strengthening of our heart, he delivers out of all of our troubles, all of putting a new song in our heart, all of our being saved, healed, and delivered.
There's a lot of fear going around here recently all over the country
mm-hmm.
and about different things.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone who is afraid of Ebola should read this and substitute anywhere it says plague or pestilence with Ebola mm-hmm. and yes. give a little comfort.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Praise God. That's good. Okay, let's go on to the next verse. Let me see here. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Pause and think about that. I think that abiding, one of the things that I saw that that word meant was to remain as one, not to become another or different. We are to remain united with God as one. Mm-hmm. Don't withdraw ourselves. And, you know, that's the nature of Adam. That's exactly what self-will is. Here's God, and here's what he wants. Well, I don't want that. I want this. I'm going to be another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In parentheses, God. I'm going to become, you know, my own. But I wanted to look at the word tabernacle. You know, the tabernacle means that we're abiding also means sojourning, staying. But a sojourning means we're on a journey. Mm-hmm. And we're on a journey, and that's why it's a tabernacle, because the tabernacle gets up and moves.
Mm-hmm.
And we're to move when God moves us, you know. And we're to... that word abiding also means to endure to the end of the journey. So abiding and tabernacling kind of goes together. I love the story. I've talked about it before many, many times. Not many, many times, a couple of times, of the story that Debbie told one time. Do you remember what I'm going to talk about?
About the tent?
Yeah. Tell the story.
I don't remember what it was in reference to.
It was in reference to you guys used to go camping a lot and how God loves all of his children.
Like my dad. I mean, you could have been horrible and disobedient during the day, but he'd never kick you out of the tent at night.
Mm-hmm. You were still part of the family,
yep.
And you were still allowed in the tent.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, we did that. Now, this is in the word of with the tabernacle. I noticed that most of the time that I saw the word tabernacle, just kind of going through all the places where that word showed up, it was called the tabernacle of the congregation. And I think that's quite significant because we're the congregation is like the family. And when you're in the tabernacle of the congregation, I know there's even one where it says God stood in the tabernacle of the congregation of the sons. But we're to tabernacle together. You know, that doesn't mean we have to have a group hug and walk through life that way. But, you know, we're to become as one and not pull apart and become another.
Mm-hmm.
We're all to be in God together and becoming, letting Christ dwell in us. But there's an awful lot in Hebrews 9. And this is the first time I'm going into the New Testament. But... I think Hebrews 9 shows an awful lot about the tabernacle. The tabernacle, let me just read it. I'll read it out of King James. And if anybody has anything they like better, jump in. Then verily, we're talking about the first covenant had ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary, tabernacle.
What verse is
I'm starting at 1.
All right.
I'm going to do I think I'm probably, I'm going to skip around, but.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, Hebrews 9:2 says, for there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And then in the next verse it says, after the second veil, so we have the first and now the second, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the gold pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that had budded, and the tables of the covenant. We kind of all know that. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly, but we've heard so much teaching about that. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself for the errors of the people. The next verse says, the Holy Ghost, thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. That was in the Old Testament when all these things were happening, while the first tabernacle was yet standing. Okay, I'm going to skip down to verse 11. But Christ, being come as a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. And even better, verse 12 says, neither by the goat of bloods of goats and calves, but of his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Yes.
For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth and purifying the flesh, how much more the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Yes, Lord.
For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also be of necessity the death of the testator. I mean, that is so precious. And then let's go down to Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed once unto men to die, and after this the judgment, which I think has always been something that people used to use to beat people over the head with. So Christ was once offered. You know, it's appointed unto men once to die. But so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, he shall appear a second time without sin unto salvation. That is amazing. All the years that I have called myself a Christian, I can say that simple first step of coming to the cross has become so much more significant, that Christ once and for all gave himself. It's becoming more and more and more real to me every year that I live. The simplicity of it and the magnificence of it.
Yes.
You know, that plan that he had, knowing that we couldn't do it, putting us on this earth and lowering us, not by our choice, you know. It's just something that, you know, you can sit and think about forever. And it becomes bigger and bigger and more all-encompassing and more all-encompassing every single time that you think about it. A tabernacle is also called a dwelling place. And we always have heard in John 14, when Jesus said, "There are many, in my Father's house there are many mansions," that is also the word dwelling place. So I thought that would be kind of good, too, to pull that into it and talk about that tabernacle. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. And he starts off by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we say we know the way?" And then Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That, you know, that goes right back. It is appointed unto man once to die. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time. See, and that's where he says, "I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again. I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will suffice us." And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you for such a long time, and you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father?" I think there is so much more to that verse than the church has ever begun to think about or to openly say. I think Jesus and the Father are one. God is Jesus. Jesus is God. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'm going to go on down because I love the very end of this. Yeah. John 14:31. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. And then he says to his disciples, arise, let us go hence. I think he's saying that to us today too. Mm-hmm. Arise, let us go hence. That's about all I've got today. And we've got a little bit of time. Has anybody got anything? Come on. Don't be shy.
You must have said it all.
I don't think I did.
Very good.
I said a little. I gagged a little. I coughed a little. Debbie, would you close in prayer?
Sure. Thank you, Father, we thank you for your word that came forth this morning.
Thank you, Father.
Lord, write it in our foreheads that we can carry it around and not forget.
Yes, Father.
We ask that you bless the service and bless Jim. Let him hear your voice and bring it to us, Father.
Yes, Father.
We just thank you and praise you for all that you're doing in each and every one. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.